I don't think you understand. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
Well, we all appreciate your concern, Colonel. I will try to be extra careful.
I'm just amazed that he allowed any of your posse to live.
Is that right?
Strictly speaking, he slipped up. You're lucky to be breathing.
That's just great. Colonel, you came out here to find out why one of your machines blew a gasket.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore pain, ignore weather, to live off the land, to eat things and to make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel, to kill, period. Win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Rage Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to just use a rocket launcher when he should have waited, Alex Perkins. Perk, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Yes, that scenario's gotten me in deep many a time, I will say.
It told you to wait, you know, and you just blew everything up.
It's just that rocket launchers are so fun.
They are fun. In the movie, I'm like, do they have rocket launchers back then? And they did. It was pretty old school, but it did the job.
It's just a rocket in a tube, Jacob.
Yeah. Well, you know, it looked kind of like an old school grenade launcher, you know? I played Call of Duty where it's set in the olden times. But, you know, they got it to work. But welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the movie podcast where every week Perk and I review a film that was connected to the previous one we watched. If you like our show, it posts every Friday morning on podcast services, and be sure to tell your friends about it, and so you can watch movies with us. But this week, we are watching the movie First Blood. Our connection was Bruce Greenwood from iRobot last week, and I'll tell you what, Perk, I didn't see him. Supposedly he was a guardsman. Yeah. I wasn't looking either. He must have been some National Guardsman. But we watched First Blood, a.k.a. Rambo 1, as some might know it. Perk, why don't you intro the movie for us?
Yeah, all right. First Blood is a 1982 joint directed by Ted Kotcheff, starring Sylvester Stallone as John Rambo, a Vietnam vet back in America. The fun fact for you is that this movie doesn't take place in Vietnam. It takes place in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fun fact, because I had no idea.
What do you... Oh, you mean like going in, you thought this was going to be a Rambo movie set in Vietnam? Yeah. That's Rambo 2.
I looked at the plot stuff. All I've seen from Rambo, because I'd never seen First Blood, all I had seen is like... Is this just dude with like a bandolier strapped to him and a minigun walking around in the jungle? So I was anticipating that, and then it's like... Oh, he's headed to, what's that, Portland? He's not fighting the Viet Cong, he's fighting Washington Town Police? What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh! So yeah, there's your fun fact.
Was this movie shot in Canada? That's my question. Yeah,
a lot of it, yep.
They said at the end on the credits, like, thanks Canada. I'm like, oh yeah, it does kind of look like Canada.
I thought they were in Canada. Because when, at the beginning, when the sheriff's like, you better... Watch where you're going, walking around wearing that.
That was a weird line. Like, yeah, do you guys hate soldiers here?
I think that is the idea.
Yeah. I guess, to be based on, like, later dialogue, it seemed more he just, like, hates kind of bums, and he figured he's a bum if he's walking around wearing, like, a dirty jacket and shit. But, anyway. So, yeah, needless to say, Perk, both of us went into this movie with very different expectations. I think, to what we got in this film.
Yeah.
And if I could start.
Please.
Why did I cry at the end of this movie? I did not expect walking into Rambo 1 to cry at the end. This movie is probably the saddest action movie I've ever seen in my entire life. And it got me. This is a great fucking movie.
Yeah, I was so surprised by this movie. Because, like I mentioned, I was anticipating just like a gore fest of... Mm-hmm. Just relentless killing, and then you wake up and it's just a dude walking around in Washington, and like he has flashes of PTSD, and then he's getting chased around by like state police and in the jungle, or not in the jungle, in the woods. It's the woods, not the jungle. There's a distinction. And I'm just like, what? I was so pleasantly surprised. This is a fantastic movie.
Like, Rambo doesn't kill anybody intentionally in this movie.
No, like, and they make sure that you see that. Like, yeah. There's some, like, one of my big ups about this movie is its attention to detail. Like,
yeah.
When he blows up the gas station, there's a shot where you can clearly see the closed sign in the window, and it's like, oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Although, like, he doesn't kill anyone of his own hand, but, like, there are some moments where it's like he's shooting a gun up through the ceiling. Like,
yeah, or when he ran that car off the road and hit another car and blew up. I'm like, yeah. Are those guys alive? but, you know, he didn't try to kill anybody, which is, like, so weird. You think
when it'd they, be when a, they did, sorry, when he did run the police car off the road, the car they ran into, which appeared abandoned, blew up. But the police car didn't blow up. It just flipped over. So
that's true.
Those guys are okay. Yeah, they made sure to make it look like he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah. And also, since you mentioned attention to detail, two things of detail I love in this movie is one, when he's trying to escape the cave and he has to, like, refill his torch, like, pulls up another piece of clock and, like, adds it on there. And, like, you never see that shit, you know? Like, National Treasure without refilling the torch, you know? But he has to, like, he adds more cloth to it, which I thought was awesome. And the second piece was, yeah, the gas station. After he blows it up and it's still on fire, you can see the gas coming out of the ground and, like, igniting.
Yeah.
It was so fucking cool. Yeah. Like, I absolutely loved that.
I'll tie back to what you just mentioned. Sorry, we're getting a little tangential here, but
that's fine.
I was going to talk about it anyway. The cave scene, once he's through, like, the rat area and he's climbing out, you can see the wind on the torch, the airflow, because that's what you do. You look for the way of the airflow to find the exit, and the wind is pulling in a direction, and he goes that direction. Yep. And it's like, I see that stuff, and I'm like, wow, they don't do that anymore. Because, everything is CG, so the torch is probably not real in a modern movie. Mm-hmm. And no one pays attention to that stuff. So, like, except me, I guess. But, like, in modern day movies, either they don't do that, or they have a character tell you about that.
Yep.
Like, they hand feed it to you. Whereas, like, there's a lot of little attention to detail moments in this movie where it's like, oh, yeah, I picked up on that, but the movie didn't hold my hand. Like, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, yeah, speaking of just the practicality, I loved all of the car stunts in this movie. I thought they were so cool and, like, fun to watch. Like, when he's on the motorcycle getting chased and the cop car's just, like, sliding out of turns and, like, going through jumping through, like, off a ramp through a fence. I'm like, this is so cool because, like, yeah, you don't get stuff like that anymore. I mean, you kind of do, like, a Fast and Furious, but that's a ton of CG. All the practicality of the movie really adds to it, and you just really feel like you're there and all these things are happening, which they are.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I always love practical effects. It's, like, CG comes really close, but there's always, like, a sheen of, like, perfection. You know, whereas, like, you see a cop car run through a fence, and it's like, yeah, that is a cop car running through a fence.
But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk too much about this movie just because, like, the plot's so simple. Like, it's literally, you know, he's just I guess you'd call him a bum, but he's just a guy who, a war vet who got back in Vietnam. He has no friends left. He's just trying to, like, figure his shit out. And we get these cops that are just on a fucking power trip, man. And want to control their little section, you know, that they have power over, and just completely hassle him, and it backfires. And it's a very simple story, but it's so, like, tragic and sad, and it felt so real. Like, every character in this movie felt like a real person. Like, I could see cops acting like that. I could see, I mean, some of the stuff with Rambo, I guess, maybe a little bit, like, intense, just with his skill set or whatever, but I don't know. Everybody in the town, I felt, was acting very realistically, which is very just sad.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the characters actually feel like characters. There are a couple just, like, cartoony bad guy type people, but yeah, for the most part, like, it's funny because one of the actual trivia, not the fact that it's Washington. Sylvester Stallone hated the first cut of this movie so much he tried to buy it back to destroy it. and he couldn't, but he convinced the directors to cut about half of the runtime, which was mainly him. Most of that time that was cut was just John Rambo. So Stallone's idea was like, we need to let the peripheral characters tell the story for him, essentially, yeah. which works so much better, I would yeah. say, rather than just like staring at John Rambo surviving, which when that is on the screen is very effective. But if there were another hour and a half of that, I don't know.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, Rambo barely talks in this movie, you know, like he yeah. talks a little bit at the beginning. He talks on the radio and then he talks at the end. Like, that's it. And I think it works, like, because it really is the town antagonizing him. They're the people that are pushing all this. He's not want doing this shit. He wants to just get out of there and leave and not cause any trouble. So, yeah, I think it works really well. And then the scenes we do get, I think, are really cool. Like, the scene where he has to, like, sew up his arm. He has, like, the sewing needle inside the knife. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah,
and then he's cool. sewing it up. And it must be a fake arm. But, like, just the blood squirting out every time he, like, pushes to, like, insert the needle. The practical effects just looked amazing, and yeah. you really just believe this dude could do everything he did in this movie.
I think plus the colonel
giving the exposition too, yeah. adding to that.
The colonel showing up was kind of random, but he's mm-hmm. he's a good deposit for expositional dialogue. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think one of the reasons why Rambo having very few dialogue lines and being mainly almost a side character in his own movie, I think it works really well because then he doesn't have much of a character because he's more of an idea.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's kind of representative of a whole generation of troops that went to Vietnam, you know, and come yeah. back shell-shocked and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. By the way, those scenes where he has the PTSD,
yeah,
when he has flashes, I think those are really cool and really well directed. Like, the way that yeah. those are spliced in, I think is very cool and really yeah. well done.
I like that too. And yeah, God, it's just, it is so just frustrating just watching the cops just treat him like shit. And it's just like, I get it, but also it's like, dude, this dude's a veteran and you're treating him, like, I know veterans get treated like shit, but I feel like no one, I don't know. I don't see people talk shit to veterans in their face. Like, it's,
yeah, so that,
it's just, it's wild.
I'm thinking that might have been a sign of the times, because obviously I wasn't around, like, yeah, in the true. Vietnam era. Maybe people were this blatantly aggressive against army people and troops. But yeah, there are some things in this movie where it's like, what? That no one would really act like that. They're just being needlessly aggressive, or, and it's maybe because we live in a different world where it's not okay to really hate on the troops. So.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, you know, people are pretty polite, whereas maybe back in, because they were talking about protests,
yeah,
you know, maybe back then it was a big thing where people were getting actively harassed for being a troop.
Yeah.
And I think, see, it's another thing where I don't know the context of when it came out, but it feels a little heavy-handed and preachy at times, like specifically mm-hmm. the start of Rambo's cathartic breakdown. When he's, like, talking about, you know, how bad protesters are to him and stuff, I'm like, oh, okay. But, you know, when he goes deeper and deeper into that rant, I think it's super effective. And maybe just, you know, the director wanted to, you know, shoehorn in, like, maybe don't be shitty to active war vets.
Yeah. No, I agree. The first half of his rant, I'm like, okay. But, yeah, once he started telling the story about his friend and what they wanted to do, and they got home, and then, you know, him getting blown up. I was like, I was crying. I'm like, this is just so sad. I think Stallone plays it great. I mean, like I said, he doesn't have a whole lot of dialogue, but I think with the dialogue he does have, I think he plays it really, really, really well. And yeah,
and the fact that, like, the climax is that there kind of isn't one.
Yeah.
I think is super, you know, like,
yeah.
for the time, what we're talking about, action movies from the 80s, you know, it always wraps up in a bow and has, like, mm-hmm. you know, they kill the bad guy and they ride off into the sunset. So the fact mm-hmm. where it's like, no, you know, he breaks down, he's done, he's out of here. And obviously, you know, they pull him out of jail and send him to Thailand or something for movie two, just based yeah. on what I've seen. You know, yeah. Because I love all the flashback PTSD stuff. And I think it's super effective, but I like the movie and I like how it's meditative and it's like a study on a mentality and a character. Mm-hmm. But it seems like people were just like, no, actually, we want the Vietnam stuff. That's the part of the movie we want, and not
which is
the
sad. It's sad that like drama. That's where the series ends up going. Because I think this movie is so good at character work, and not even just him, but I think all the townspeople that we see are really well done. Like the police and especially the National Guard are so cocky for not having seen actual combat, and I think that just felt so realistic to me. Like these people are weekend warriors, you know, they have guns they want to use, and it's most evident when they're surrounding him at the cave and they're all shooting, you know, just blasting with him with assault rifles, and then he shoots back a little bit, and they all just shit their pants. They're like, I'm not trying to get killed, you know, I'm not trying to actually get hurt. I'm just up here to like shoot some guns and stuff because they have just no concept of what actual like war or combat is, and I just think that was done super well. Like they're a little bit cartoony, but I think it's kind of accurate. Like,
yeah,
the small town people who think they're hot shit, they've never actually seen stuff that's hard. And as soon as they encounter anything that's actually dangerous, they bail. They don't want anything to do with it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then I want to talk about the Colonel a bit, because I think he's a great addition. He is an exposition device, but I think he's such a fun one because just how he talks about Rambo. Like, one of the best lines is when what's the name of the police guy? Teal?
Teasel.
Is like, you know.
Maybe it's pronounced Teal. I wasn't paying attention.
He's like, me with 200 guys, we're not going to win. And the colonel's like, if you're going with that many guys, don't forget one thing. A bunch of body bags. I was like, damn right, dude. Rambo can mess him up. But he doesn't. Rambo doesn't kill anybody in this movie, which is like such an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Because, you know, you'd think if he were like in some sort of manic state, like psychotic episode where he thinks he's back in Nam, you'd think he'd be killing people. But he very specifically only maims them, although some of them in pretty brutal ways.
Oh yeah, I mean the like guy,
the dude with the sticks,
and then the guy who gets like kind of hung.
Yeah,
like I'm like, God, that's fucked. But
then go over, cut that guy down, like Christ.
But I love when he corners the police guy and he's like, "Hey, I could have killed all your men, and I chose not to. Leave me the fuck alone," you know. Yeah. And then the cop lies and he's like, "Oh yeah, we got to bring everyone in to get this one dude, just because his pride's hurt." But then I didn't love the conversation at the restaurant, but I kind of liked it between him and the colonel and the police chief being like, you know, I just want to kill him so bad. And I'm like, God, that's fucked up. Like,
it's a weird one.
And the colonel's like, yeah, the badge doesn't kind of, you know, allow that, does it? And the colonel's like, you know, we had orders. You don't have orders. You know, this is kind of just like a personal vendetta for you. I almost wanted a little bit more going into the psychology of the police sheriff. I mean, it's kind of obvious, I guess, what he wants. But just how, like, I wanted to get more of, like, do you see how fucked up it is that the sheriff wants to kill this dude for fucking vagrancy? Which I appreciate the call that calls out. He's like, yeah, it'd be great in his tombstone. Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Green Beret, killed for vagrancy in middle of nowhere, Washington. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I got. Like you said, it's a very simple movie, but it's not the simple movie I was expecting. No. I was expecting a meat grinder.
For sure. Yeah, I think as I was trying to get like recommendations based on this movie, and it's like, I can't recommend in good conscience any action movie because this is barely an action movie. But I think I would recommend Rocky.
Okay.
The original Rocky. Because, I mean, it's Stallone again, but I think Rocky's not a movie that people forget is actually pretty sad, like the first one. And I think it pairs well with First Blood. So I'd recommend the first Rocky.
Haven't seen.
You should give it a watch.
Yeah, I should. My recommendation, I don't know, I'm sure I've talked about it before, is The Wall. I've at least told you about The Wall.
Oh, yeah. I think you talked about the podcast like once or twice.
Yeah, with Aaron Taylor Johnson and John Cena. Just basically like a soldier is pinned behind a decaying brick wall by a sniper, and the movie is a conversation between him and the sniper. It's another movie where it's like you're expecting an action movie, and then you get kind of a really closed off, almost character drama. Not so much in First Blood, but same kind of a vibe for me.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate the movie. I'm curious how it was received when it first came out back in 1982. I wonder if people resonated with it. Maybe they did more because they're closer to Vietnam, but maybe they didn't like it because it wasn't a pure action movie.
I don't know. I have to imagine people enjoyed it. Because, I mean, if it didn't succeed, there wouldn't be six Rambo movies, you know?
That is true.
You know, the most recent one came out in 2019?
I saw that, and it looked like it was like, bad.
What? How are they still on it? Like,
this... I mean, we're talking about Stallone here. This is the guy who also made, like, seven Rocky movies.
That's true. Maybe I should, like, go through, like, the Wikipedias and just see what the plot line is. Is it just, do we have this small intimate moment in the first movie, and after that it's just sending him out different places to kill people?
I think it is. Because I think for them, like, the draw is, like, he's the master of guerrilla warfare. And guerrilla warfare is cool. So we're going to make every movie about him and guerrilla warfare.
Right. You know?
Which it's interesting, like First Blood and Rocky One are both like really good character pieces, and then the rest of the series I think just devolves into just kind of pure just action movie tropes, which, you know, it's kind of sad. But I mean watch Creed. I think Creed kind of brings it back, and Creed's a solid movie with some good characters. But I've at least heard that a lot of the later Rockies kind of fall apart a bit. Well, there you go. That is our review of First Blood. Definitely give it a watch over there on HBO Max. But now it's time
HBO,
for our...
man.
Dude, I'm telling you, they got the bangers. I know
it. They do.
It's time for some bonus reviews. Perk, you got three. I got one. So you can start us off.
All right. I just now came from, before recording here, I just came from Nope, the Jordan Peele horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it on an IMAX screen, which I would absolutely say is where you should see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is gorgeous. It is huge. It is epic. I know you're not a horror guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely horror, but it's, I've heard this comparison. It's not my own doing, but it's a horror movie like Jaws is a horror movie.
Sure.
So it's not like a demonic possession haunted mm-hmm. house mm-hmm. type movie. It's a lot bigger than that. I won't spoil too much, because it's hard to not and go into super great depth, but I loved it. It was very good. It was edge of the seat, heart pounding for like the entire back half. It starts mm-hmm. maybe a little slow, but there's a lot of character development that has to be done, and you know, that sometimes is a trade-off. Like you either have weaker characters or you have a longer intro.
Right.
So, I mean, look at Interstellar, for example, has like over an hour of rising action before anything happens. And it's like, but it helps establish. So, and then, it's like, this is not very spoilery, but Jordan Peele is a mastermind because he was able to absolutely terrify me with the song "I Wear My Sunglasses at Night" by Corey Hart. which is a one-hit wonder from the 80s, and it's a fantastic song, and it shook me to the core in this movie the way he used it. So I just love I was like cheesing in the theater. I was like, no way. It's wonderful.
So let me ask
definitely go see Nope.
How was there social commentary? How much social commentary was there, like, compared to like Get Out? I guess that's probably like the most he's done. But because I've heard different reports on if there is a good amount of social commentary in this movie or not.
See, I'm not the person that would be best to read into stuff like that, but it doesn't feel to me like there's much. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a bit from the get-go, but you know, once things start to roll in, not really so much.
Okay.
But yeah, there's some chilling scenes. There's heart-pumping action. There's really just a lot of terrifyingly beautiful in this movie.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely looks like that from the trailers, because a lot of it's set in daylight, which is really cool.
There's plenty of night, don't worry.
last thing I'll ask you is, how would you rank the Jordan Peele movies?
I haven't seen Us. I think Us is probably a little further down the horror track than I tend to go.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Get Out in a while, because you stiffed me when I tried to do it.
I'm sorry. We'll get to it at some point.
Some point, yep. I'd have to rewatch Get Out because it's been so long, but I mean, Get Out was a masterpiece when it came out, so I'll probably lean towards that one just because on his debut he stuck the landing so well. But like, this is like almost like a Tarantino-esque like love letter to the summer blockbuster You know, mm-hmm. it has so much Spielberg in it. Like, it just, like, Jaws is the comparison point. Like, it feels like Jaws in a similar type of way. So, like, similar development of the big bad. So,
right.
I'd say it's a little toothier than most summer blockbusters, but it wasn't too much for me, and I'm kind of a baby, so.
Well, good. I'm glad you liked it. Do you want to do another one? Do you want me to go next?
I'll do another one because it'll be a little quicker. I finished off The Bear.
Oh.
On Hulu. I like it. It's uncomfortable. It's always uncomfortable, and everything always goes wrong. All the time. And then there's like moments of small moments of light. And it's just, I like all the characters are actual characters. I love that. The setting is great. The weird, like, juxtaposition of like food porn with anxiety thriller is super interesting.
Yeah.
And crazy. Cause like, you know,
is there that much food porn though? We don't see a lot of.
There's a good amount, actually. If you go back and look, I mean, there's just like some close-up shots of chopping onions or whatever. And, you know, whereas in like Chef, it's like, oh, yeah.
Chef's like all food porn, man.
Yeah, just close-up so food good. Porn.
Yeah.
But then when like in The Bear, you know, it's a close-up of cutting with like hard, like sharp music behind it. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just. But yeah, I'm a fan. I look forward to what comes next. I love the little cameo from the brother because I just freaking love him to death. It's kind of spoiler, so I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a good show. The ending was a little weird and like I have some questions, but other than that, you know, it gets a firm thumbs up for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the second last episode is pretty much all one shot.
And it's like I didn't notice, minutes. But yeah, I believe it.
20 minutes, and you're just in one scene, and it is the most stressful shit I've seen since Uncut Gems. And then the last episode, I think is very cathartic, and I really love. Well, it opens with a monologue from the main character. I think it was incredible, and then
which you know I'm a fiend for that shit.
Oh yeah,
ever since BoJack Free Churro, man.
Like, yeah. Incredible.
There's and so much art in like an actor who's able to hold just him hold the screen for 5 minutes. Like it's so impressive.
So good. And then I love the ending. I think it's very satisfying and cool. And
definitely.
I'm super excited for a season two, which they have to do. They got to do.
I would imagine. Real quick though, who the hell is the main actor? Like I've never seen
him
before.
He's from Shameless. He's one of the main guys of Shameless.
I didn't watch Shameless, but he's fantastic.
Oh, he's incredible. I mean, honestly,
also
all the actors are so good in this show.
They're all really good, but especially Carmian, the actress who plays Sydney.
Dude, Sydney feels like such a real person. I just like cannot even express. And his cousin, too.
Richie,
Richie, he's such a dick, but you can't. They don't let you fully hate him. You want to hate him, but
those,
they don't
like,
let you.
You can glimpse through the layers and see that it's maybe not all bad.
Yeah. Yeah. God, what a great show. All right. So for what I watched, Perk, curiosity may have killed the cat because I watched The Gray Man. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I want to hear a take from someone who actually like watched it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you don't know, The Gray Man is the new Russo Brothers movie that came out on Netflix this last week. Starring Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. Action movie based on a book. And when it came out, reviews were terrible.
Yeah, pretty abysmal.
IGN gave it a 5, I saw. I heard someone say it's unwatchable. And
wow.
I'm just like, I'm just so curious. I'm like, how bad can it be? Because, I mean, come on. Russo Brothers, Ryan Gosling, Chris, like, the pieces are there. It can't be that bad. And I watched it, and it's not that bad.
Okay.
It's definitely not unwatchable. Like, that's absolute hyperbole. Like, Ryan Gosling is charming, you know, as he always is. He's had some comedic bits, which I always appreciate from him. And Armis is solid. She doesn't have a lot to do. Like, her character doesn't really have, like, an arc or anything, but, like, she's fine. Chris Evans is eating up scenery, playing the bad guy. the main issue, my main issue is I feel like the Russo brothers sat down and were like, okay, what are the top four action movie franchises right now? Mission Impossible, yep. James Bond, Fast and Furious, and John Wick, right? And they're like, let's take a little bit of each, which like on paper is a good idea, but on execution, terrible idea. You should not do that because you're just going to fail at all of them because you're not any of those franchises. You need to choose something that you can do well and do that. Because the best things about like Mission Impossible and John Wick in particular are that the main actors are doing the stunts so that you don't have to cut away from things. You can watch the actor in a wide shot. You can see their face. Ryan Gosling's not doing this stuff. A lot of it, you know, he you can see him in some scenes, but he's not doing a lot of this. A lot of the fight scenes, they got to cut away from him because it's probably a stunt man. The most just egregious thing they did is minor spoilers, but if you're not going to watch it,
I'm not going to watch it. I'm not.
There's a scene where Ryan Gosling's in a plane and the people on the plane start fighting him and the plane blows up and they have to fall down from the sky and there's a fight scene while they're falling. It's all CG. The entire...
Oh, no!
And it's CG doubles and they move the camera so you can't really tell, but you can tell. And it's just like, we just watched Mission Impossible Fallout a couple years ago. You can't be doing this shit anymore. I'm sorry. But like, when Tom Cruise exists, you can't get away with a fully CG skydive fight scene because we've seen... what it could like be, and it's not that.
I feel like I saw like some report or something about how it took them, you know, like 50 shots to get that.
To get maybe which one? The Gray Man one?
The falling from the sky fight scene. Am I thinking about a different movie?
I mean, I know for Fallout it took them. Because I was telling you about this on the podcast. Fallout, it took them. They like skydived every day for like 100 days, and then they only got
that
like
is what I'm thinking
shots.
Of.
Yeah. All right. No, because like, yeah, this is correcting me. This is fully CG, and it was just bad. I'm like, why'd you even decide to do this if this is what you know you're gonna do? Because that's where the budget went. This movie was super expensive, and I'm like, why is it so expensive? That's why. And then you know you have like the Fast and Furious stuff, which isn't great. I'm like, Fast and Furious does it better because Fast and Furious is more campy and fun. You know, this movie is kind of trying to be serious. So stuff like that. There's never and like the James Bond stuff. Like he's like an agent, but he's not Bond. Like that doesn't have the je ne sais quoi that like Daniel Craig Bond. So it's just they try to do this stuff and it doesn't really work. The comment I can give it is there is an action scene where it's Ryan Gosling in the center of like this square and there's just like hordes of people with guns trying to get him and shooting. And this is a compliment. It felt like a Call of Duty campaign mission. Like, and I promise that's a compliment. Like, this, yeah, it was like that kind of bombastic and crazy and just like shooting and grenades and all that stuff. It felt like Call of Duty, which is cool, but it made no sense in the plot of the movie. Like, the amount of destruction that the main villain is getting away with in broad daylight just makes zero sense that he'd be able to do this stuff. And they kind of try to talk their way out of it. It doesn't work. So, and it's hard for me to say, like, was the book bad that they're adapting or is the adaptation bad? The whole thing just doesn't really work. I don't know. Ryan Gosling's good. He has some relationships with, like, his kind of father figure and, like, a daughter figure that I think are genuinely, like, sweet and nice. But the plot's super simple. It's just a MacGuffin, you know, storyline. And I don't know. It's fine. It's definitely not unwatchable. I wouldn't give it a 5, probably give it like a 6 out of 10. Because like, throw it on the background, you can see some interesting action and Ryan Gosling's fun. But as far as what this was billed as like a Russo Brothers, you know, action movie, it just doesn't hit it. Because to me, like, they did Captain America Winter Soldier, which is like one of the best action movies, you know, of recent time. Because like, it's a thriller, there's a mystery. I just think the character work in that is really good. And like, it's kind of the thriller mystery part. There's no mystery in this movie. Okay. You know everything's going to happen. There's nothing you're trying to figure out. You know, it's just a straight-up action movie. Get from point A to point B to point C.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish the Russo Brothers would, like, focus on what they're good at, which I think is character writing and stuff like that. When they try to do this kind of bombastic action, it just doesn't really work. So, I don't know, man.
Well, discussion for another time. I'm not going to trash Winter Soldier. It's annoying to me that, you know, Netflix is floundering right now and it's like they're throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at garbage like this, like a plug-and-play action thriller with super big budget stars attached. It's like, this is not why I have Netflix. You know, this is not why a lot of people have Netflix. And, you know, they're out here, like, canceling small shows, like, this anecdotally, Tuca and Birdie got canceled after one season. And yet they're funneling all their finances towards this garbage. And, like, nine Sandler movies. You know, given some of the Sandler movies have been pretty good. Some of them have been awful. But it's like they are
reality TV too. They're dumping a lot of money into just cheap to make.
Yeah. Well, and it's like just, you know, people aren't looking for that stuff. I mean, they are. Unfortunately, they are. But like, I don't know. It's what sets you apart is not having a plug and play action thriller. It's having, you know, BoJack and, you know, it's like interesting stuff Master like that. None. Yeah. Like, more original, creative, like, IPs rather than, well, there was a book about action. Let's do a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, like, the most Hollywood pitch I've obviously ever seen. Like, we're going to turn a book into a pure action movie with three really hot stars right now, and we're going to put some of the hottest directors, you know, in the business on it. And it just comes out, and it's just not good. It's like, and I'm sure they're like, how was this not good? We put all the pieces together that normally work. And it's like, you can't just do that. You have to have some thought and some creativity. And there's thank God I didn't pay for a movie ticket to see this. I would have been pissed off if I had paid to see this movie. At least on streaming, it's like, okay, I just turn it on and, you know, check it out. But
there's no paint by numbers in the Louvre.
Yeah.
I think that was really clever. Can you compliment me on that?
I'll give a compliment for that. That was pretty nice. Now, let me ask you this though. what's going on with the Russo brothers? Are they are they good directors or not? Because like, I mean, they came up on TV. I mean, like Community and Arrested Development, right? They're like comedy directors.
All right.
And then
fantastic shows.
Both fantastic. And then they did Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame, which by all accounts are some of the best Marvel movies. And I know some people don't like Marvel movies, but I'm saying, for people who enjoy Marvel, those are top tier.
I will not disagree with you.
But then they did Cherry and they did this. And it's like those were both critically panned. So it's like, what's going on? Figure it out.
Well, I can't talk to their TV work, but maybe with... God, because I was going to say, working with Marvel, they've got such a well laid out IP.
Yeah.
They've got such great source material to work with. Maybe they're just like Dumbass and Dumbass from Game of Thrones. Where they're really good at adapting the books, but once they ran out of books, it turns out they're garbage showrunners.
But Gray Man was a book.
But yeah, it's a book. Maybe they just picked a garbage book. You know, like, Marvel comics are not bad. Like, they're fantastic source material. So maybe they just they picked a bad egg to start from. Like,
yeah,
if you polish a turd, it's still a turd. Like, maybe it's just a bad book. Has anyone read The Gray? Be sure to leave it in the comments.
Well, and like, at least like Cherry had like an interesting idea.
I said The Gray.
Not Liam Neeson's movie.
I keep conflating them because it's like called the same thing almost.
But like, movie like Cherry, like the premise is interesting. I think. Granted, I didn't see it, so I can't speak to like the quality of the movie too much. I just know what I've heard. I think the premise is interesting. Of, you know, you have a war vet again who becomes a drug addict and his life kind of falls apart. I can understand why they would pick up that project. And with Tom Holland, it's like, yeah, this seems like it should be totally good. And it didn't come together. And then this, I don't know if Netflix came to them. It was probably Netflix came to them with this, I would imagine.
Probably.
I can't imagine they had this idea. But, you know, a book about a spy. Spies are always fun to do. But it just didn't come together. And it's just, I don't know.
So I'd say maybe, sure where they go from here. Maybe they don't deserve as much critique from this as Cherry flopping. Mm-hmm. Because usually, you know, when a director goes out on the vine and does something way out of their, you know, traditional realm, if it's really good, it means they have a lot of talent, right? Whereas, like, if you go out of your lane and it flops and it had all the things, like a creative story and an up-and-coming star, it had all that going for it, maybe that's indicative. Maybe that's the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
Christ, I'm all about these metaphors today.
I don't know. It makes me sad because I mean, I love their work on the Marvel movies and I want them to succeed. So hopefully they can find a project that suits them and they can knock it out of the park. But it's not been working for them lately. And So anyway,
I also keep getting them mixed up with Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. What do they do?
They did Lego Movie. They did Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse. They also did a lot of comedy back in the day. They're a very solid team.
Gotcha.
So anyway, but yeah, what's the last thing you watched this week, Bert?
All right, so I ran out to the theater damn near as quickly as I could to see Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
I'm seeing it this Friday.
I cried for about 70% of the runtime. I am not kidding you. This is the most I've ever cried at a movie. It is just so painfully, beautifully sad. It like, you don't, maybe it's because I didn't come prepared, right? But you don't go to googly eye glued onto a shell with little boots movie and think, this is going to break me. You don't. Mm-hmm. You go in there like, oh, look, googly-eyed shell with boots. I mean, there were a bunch of families there, like people who brought their kids in to see this movie because they thought it was a kid's movie.
Yeah.
It's not. Really? Most of the humor in it, most of the humor in it is adult, or at least like a little more nuanced. Like, it's not just like, shell fall down. Or, it's not like, you know, poop jokes. So if you're bringing your kids, drop them off at Minions on the way in. But yeah, it's so good. It is gorgeous. It is beautifully animated. It is so well acted. Isabella Rossellini as Nana Connie, so good. The format of it is fantastic. Like, the whole setup and why the plot moves along is great. It's hard. I'd say this is among my favorite movies I've seen this year. It's just about perfect. I had like no problems with it, other than for some reason my tear ducts had problems with it. So I won't go too into depth, but Christ, I love this movie. Are you going to see it with someone?
Yeah, my friend recommended it because we have to go to Indianapolis anyway to drop off in front of the airport. So like while we're down there, there's a theater showing, we can go watch it. So I'm scared. I'm scared about how much I'm going to cry. will I cry more than Everything Ever All at Once? It sounds probably.
Yes, definitely. 100%. Like,
I cried the entire last third of Everything Ever All at Once.
I'll probably cry
the entire movie.
There's a moment pretty early on in the movie when you're like, oh God, this is what we're doing. And then already eyes welling up. It's like, oh Christ. But it is very good. It is crazy how much emotion can be packed in by stop motion and just a super powerful score. Like, it's reserved, but it hits. And just a great story. Oh, it's so good. I'm so glad that this came about from a 3-minute YouTube video 11 years ago.
So is it all stop motion? I mean, I know there's like real people in it, but like,
So
is Marcel all stop motion?
It's live action, and then the shells are stop motion.
Yeah, I'm excited and scared.
listeners out there, don't be scared. you'll cry like a little baby, but you gotta go see Marcel the Shell. I will say the theater I was in was fairly crowded. Maybe a lot of people will get fooled into thinking it's a kids movie, and so that'll make them actually go see it. Because I can't imagine someone sees the pitch for this and is like, yeah, I want to go out and see that, unless you know what it's about, which I do.
I don't know, man. The trailer is pretty solid. Like, the trailer got me to be interested in it. I never saw the original
Have you since? So.
I think I saw...
Just give it a watch.
Jenny Slate doing the voice on like Conan, but I don't think I've actually seen the original.
They do sample the original video a little bit. They do some callbacks. So it's not mandatory watching. But it's a good idea of what you're going to get going in. But yeah, hilarious, heartfelt. Like, it... Oh, I love it. I love it. This originality. It's just beautiful.
Fantastic.
Sorry, I'll stop waxing poetic about
it. No, I'm sure I'll...
Googly-eyed Shell movie.
I'll be doing it next week, so don't worry about it. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for watching our show this week. Next week, special announcement here. So
hard pivot.
So if you remember back from episode 11 to 20, we did a string of black voices. We wanted to get some black directed movies in there to kind of mix things up and spotlight some people that don't always get, you know, a spotlight on them. We're doing that again. So the next, we're going to try to do 10. Unfortunately, it's hard to find these movies that are on streaming, but we want to do female voice spotlight. So female directed and or written movies. I'm already just going to say the connections between each of these going to be loose or non-existent. It might just bounce between each one because it's really hard.
It's probably going to be the connection is that they're female voices. I think it's maybe tenuous, but I mean, it's less tenuous than the fact that we're coming from First Blood, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we're gonna cut the string for now and tie on a new one. And next week we are going to be starting it off with one of my favorite movies, Booksmart. Which Perk has not seen yet. So
not yet. I'm excited.
I love this movie. I've seen it twice, and a third time I'm sure I'll love it just as much. So Booksmart is streaming on Hulu. So make sure you watch that for next week if you want to follow along with us. But yeah, next week, Booksmart, Hulu. But until next time, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.